you join me in our scripture sentences as we begin worship? This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven.
The hour is coming, and now is, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such the Father seeks to worship him.
Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. Amen.
Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and
Lord, I have something I would like to talk with you about at this time. Would you come? That'll work. Amen. Amen. Give me five. My wife and I had one child, a son. And he, when he was about your age, he began to have a certain liking for this device. What is this? Look at this. Do you like flashlights? Oh, yes. Well, a flashlight lets you see where you're going, right? We need a light, especially when it's nighttime. And we need light when we have decisions to make. Where do I go? What direction do I take? Well, now, this particular light has got another kind of light on it. All I have to do is punch the device again, and voila, what kind of light is that? It's a red light, but it's got a name. This is a laser. It's a pointer. Now look at that. It get your foot. Yeah. Well, now I'll tell you what. We have a cat at home, and you can put that cat next to this light, and it will run all over the place. And if you jerk it like this, the cat goes like that. We torment the cat sometimes, and finally we turn it off. And then she wonders where it went. Where did the light go? Oh no, it's gone, isn't it? It's somewhere in here. Would you like for me to turn it on again? No, that means yes. Okay, first of all, we have this kind of light, and then we have the laser. It's also called a pointer. And when I taught college young people and wanted to show something on the board, I would point to it. Look at that. It's over there on the wall now. Oh, my goodness. I wonder if it'll go. Look at that. It's at the front door. Isn't that amazing? It goes all over the place. You like that? For a little, I'd lose my flashlight, wouldn't I, folks? Yeah. I want to remind us about something. All of us need light in life. If it were not light today, if it were night, in other words, and we didn't have those lights on, we would stumble. I probably would fall on my face because I would miss that step, right? We need light, and Jesus said he was the light of the world, but we also need pointers to show us the direction we need to take, and that's a long way off, and I've checked this light out. I could even shine it on a tree outside at night, and you could see that red dot. This is what prayer does for us. Prayer will help us focus on exactly where we need to be, like when I would point to something on a screen for the young people to see what I'm trying to teach them. They could see it because the laser puts it right where you want it. When we pray, when we read scripture, when we listen to God and then wait for God, it's like God giving us pointers. And he points us where he wants us to go. And at the end of the service, many of us will go right out that door where I'm pointing, right? So let's keep this in mind. We need light to see. Jesus is the light of the world. And then we need pointers to see specifically and directly what we need to decide. And when that's the case, it's like having the laser. Now let's have a prayer. Dear God,
Thank you so much for opportunities to let us see. We know Jesus said he is the light of the world, but also we need specific instructions. So let us remember to pray, to read our scripture, to listen, and to wait. To wait upon the Lord. He will show us the way. Amen. And thank you so much for coming up. They're not very expensive. You have in your bulletin a number of prayer concerns. You see them there listed. Glenn Long phoned me this morning. He said he would like to come to church. Please give you folks his apologies, but he's with us in spirit. As you know, he's had a difficult time with his health of late. Marianne, it's good to see you back, dear. We have certainly missed you. You're hanging in there, aren't you? And it's good to see everyone here with our various issues and trials. Some of us have been pretty sick and just now getting back. Others of us have been suffering bereavement and have been tied up and just now getting back. So it's good to come to the house of the Lord for worship, to get acquainted with new folks, and also to share the joys and the sorrows of what's gone down in our lives of late. So let us go to the Lord in prayer, shall we pray? Father God, as we turn to you in our prayers, as we lift to your throne of grace our thoughts, our supplications, our desires, our troubles, the pressures that all of us are under from time to time, we are grateful for the church, for it points us to you. It lifts song, scripture. It lifts praise and thanksgiving to your throne of grace, offering all who come as well as the entire world where it is that we may find direction, relief from the pressures of life, and also forgiveness, and gives us new starts every day and lets us enjoy our salvation. Lord, you know the secrets of our hearts. You know that at times we have neglected you. We've not come to church when we could have. We have allowed personal comforts to let us stay in bed on Sunday morning instead of coming and being refreshed and having our batteries recharged and having our spirits focused toward you, the risen Lord. Lord, we know this is true because so much literally is falling apart around us. We need to pray for the sick, the bereaved, the lonely, the folks in rest homes who are forgotten by their families or never had families to support them. We know, O Lord, that we need to pray for the political situation throughout the world, where there is aggression, where there is gridlock, where there is frustration with the personnel leading government, whether it be in Russia and the Ukraine, or ISIS and the Middle East and Jordan, or whether it be in Central and South America, as those countries struggle because of low oil revenues. Lord, we pray for our country as well. There is so much that could be done, but our government leaders don't like each other, and our country suffers because they have lost the art of compromise. So we pray for them. We pray for ourselves who are victimized
by their mule-headedness. Please help all of us stop pointing our fingers and start lifting everyone, including ourselves, in prayer. That somehow we can learn the ancient phrase, love one another. These things we pray in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you.
We come now to the time in our service for the giving back to God his tithes and also presenting the offerings from ourselves to God, which of course is a percentage over 10%. So let the ushers come forward at this time. Thank you, O Lord, for opportunities that you give us to live and move and have our being here in this, your creation. For opportunities you give us to know how to earn money and the joy of spending money. May we also be joyful in giving back to you what is yours, and also finding money over and beyond our tithe to make a contribution to this church, your ministry through the church, as well as mission throughout the world. Amen.
Conduct is like you shall see. God before him, whatever betide, in joy or in sorrow, still follow the Lord. And looking to Jesus, still trust in his word. Time to be holy, be calm in thy soul. Each thought and each motive beneath his control. Thus led by his Spirit to fountains of love.
Our scripture lessons for today come from two places in God's most holy word. First of all, from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 21 through 31, and then from Mark's gospel, chapter 1, verses 29 to 39. So let us hear the word of the Lord. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to live in, who brings princes to naught and makes the rulers of the earth as nothing. Scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown, scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth, when he blows upon them and they wither, and the tempest carries them off like stubble. To whom then will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who created these, who brings out their host and numbers them, calling them all by name, because he is great in strength, mighty in power. Not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is an everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And then from Mark, hear these words. As soon as they left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now, Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sunset, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door, and he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak, because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place. And there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, Let us go on to the neighboring towns, so that I may proclaim the message there also. For that is what I came out to do. And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. Amen. And here end these readings from God's most holy word. Let us bow in prayer together. May the words of my mouth and may the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. In Mark's gospel, Jesus starts his ministry with several events that apparently just go boom, 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 boom. He starts out, of course, with his baptism, immediately moves to temptations. Then he called some of his disciples, Simon, Andrew, and John. And then he went to Capernaum. He taught in the synagogue. He's surrounded then with sickness and disease and distress. He's also casting out demons. And one of them there in the synagogue called him the Holy One of God. The people are beginning to see him as a miracle worker. So he's hounded by people seeking healing, health, wholeness, what we all seek. Even his disciples hunt him down while he's praying. Now think about this. Any person with that kind of work schedule would absolutely be eaten up with fatigue. Because that kind of pace literally devours us human beings. So let's think about the location of everything. Capernaum. Many people say Jesus of Nazareth, that's where he was born, but he was rejected by the people of Nazareth. He really has his base of operations in Capernaum. Now, Virginia and I and my parents were there back in the early 70s, and there's an outline of where the footers were for that synagogue. And then they have a traditional place where Simon's mother-in-law lived. So Jesus immediately leaves the synagogue and goes inside. Now, mind you, he's not supposed to be working on the Sabbath. He has a private healing for Simon's mother-in-law. She gets up, takes her by the hand, she gets up, and her fever's gone. And then she begins to be the hostess, and she serves them. I think I've told you I always enjoy telling my Roman Catholic friends, especially the priests who, of course, are celibate, that, you know, your first pope, who was Peter, he was married. And they think a minute and they say, yeah, I believe he was. He wouldn't have a mother-in-law if he weren't married. So we have a good chuckle over that. And then we move on to something else. Now notice at sundown on Sabbath, because the Sabbath stopped being the Sabbath at 6 p.m. on Saturday. Their days went from 6 p.m. Friday to 6 p.m. Saturday. That's the Sabbath. So at sundown, the people brought everyone who was sick to be healed. So he's really quite busy. He goes to sleep. But most scholars think it was about 3 in the morning, somewhere thereabouts, that he gets up and goes to an isolated place. There he prays. He communes with his Heavenly Father. He's alone. He's doing his soul work. Now, folks, this is of critical importance. In our culture, the culture of packing everything we possibly can into every waking minute. Many of us are taught to keep lists. Very early on, Mom and Dad showed me how to make a list of what you want to do that day. I wish they'd told me more about taking care of my soul and added that to my list. Because many times people are so busy, people are so scattered, that they literally act like pinballs in a pinball playing machine. They go from one bumper to another. They go from one thing that lights up and sounds, and then they get shot by that little device with a spring load that when they come down to the slot, you let it go and they go back up. And they're like pinballs and they go all over the place. Those are our lives, are they not? Think about it. What are you going to do tomorrow? Have you got your list ready? How early are you going to get up and hit the road to do that? Have you got your schedule mapped out? I don't care what age we are, we just literally stack everything we can into every waking minute. This is, I would say, the American way, but most all of the world is like that, especially in Western civilization. We think we're going to miss something. But you know what? If we don't do our soul work, before long, we lose our soul. There's a scripture appropriate for that. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? There are those of us who have family members that are very afraid because they're doing very well with their workaday life. They climb the great pyramid of promotion and they have so thrown themselves into their work that one wonders if they are losing their soul, especially when they don't keep their little boys in church and show them how to go to church. Think of it. And think of all those leaders, whether they be religious leaders, political leaders, sports leaders, who simply begin to crack on the inside of their soul and they do things which they wish they hadn't. And then they began to cover up and cover up and cover up and cover up. How tragic was it when the President of the United States was impeached because he thwarted justice. He impeded due process. He lied to cover up. Now, this happens all so frequently, whether it's religious, sports, or political. What happens? What happens? You look to scriptures and you begin to see. You look to Jesus and you see he is covered up with scheduling. The disciples even hunted him down while he was doing his soul work. They need you. They're clamoring for you. Come on back to Capernaum. You got more sick folks to heal. And Jesus stayed focused. He said, no, we've got to go to other towns. We've got to go other places and proclaim the kingdom of God through healing. So proper soul work is looking at Jesus and seeing how he took care of his soul. And these are four things that we can incorporate from these passages of our Lord. Observation of these passages. First of all, he had a tremendous vocation. Many of us do. He was preaching, teaching, and healing, and that is always connected with the ministry of Jesus. To this day, when I visit hospitals, rest homes, when I'm asked to pray for the sick and the lonely, that is what Jesus did. He worked with healing. He proclaimed Jesus and the plan of salvation. And he also worked with healing. So his spirit still keeps going throughout the world. And when we latch on or relate in any way to it, we're doing the work of Jesus. I should say, he's doing the work of himself through us. So that's the first thing. Find out what we're doing to glorify God and push it. Keep going with it. Secondly, be aware that many people will take advantage of you for personal gain. Do you think Jesus didn't know that people came to see him just for themselves? This is what we see with churches everywhere. A church is often vulnerable for people who want something and could care less about Jesus. We face this, whether it's at the food pantry or whether it's worship or wherever you wish. People come because they want something, not necessarily to praise God. Jesus was aware of that, but he dealt with it by continuing to do the work that God gave him to do. Now, he could have fussed at people who came there just for personal gain, but his job was not to fuss at people, but to let them see the power of God, sow the seeds of health and wholeness, and let them at some other time realize from where the power came. And then God in his wisdom and God in his patience will bring them to repentance. Now, we're seeing a great deal about Jesus' character here. What was he like as a person? We always have different books we may purchase in order to show us how to be more effective. You've got a book entitled The Effective Executive or Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. You have Christian authors that say The Empowered Leader, 10 Keys to Servant Leadership. Another Christian book, The 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership. But in these passages, we find Jesus' own leadership style. I want to jot these down if you have a pencil handy. The first one is that he spoke with authority. He spoke with authority. He knew from where his power came. He knew his limitations. He knew what he could do and not do. And he had authority because he had sorted this out with God and he was applying what God told him to do with himself, to do with his profession. And that gave him authority. God gave it to him. Secondly, we find compassion. Jesus always was giving himself to other people. He understood from where they came. He understood about their handicaps of frustration. Some of us carry such burdens, it's a wonder any of us are effective with the baggage we have to carry. So he was compassionate. He also was humble. Jesus knew that he couldn't do the job by himself. So he spent time alone in prayer, seeking God's will and strength, of being refreshed. Now, here is an area which I want to suggest many of us may be lacking in. How much time do you take to be holy? How much time do you and I take to speak often with God? Or do we just simply go off in every direction and become that proverbial pinball? Take time to be holy. Get our directions from the one who directs us. So authority, compassion, humility, and then vision. Jesus had a picture as to where he needed to be and what he needed to be doing, and he stuck with it. Sometimes it's called focus. You see it in every discipline. About 10 days ago, the University of Notre Dame beat my alma mater in basketball by 6 points. Well, all of us Dukies were just so upset. But I thought to myself at the time, they didn't deserve to win. They played pitifully. And then yesterday there was a rematch. And the Methodists beat the Catholics by 30 points. 90-30. And furthermore, with their great star, Jahlil Okafor, he was on the bench the last 12 minutes of the first half. Turned out to be high score anyway, but they beat them like a drum. What was the difference? Well, one, they're playing an indoor stadium. You don't win too often there. But the second thing is, Mike Krzyzewski, the Duke coach, said that was the best game he'd seen Duke play that season because they were focused. They had a vision. And all eight regulars, the five starters plus three that come in regularly, they knew what their job was. They knew what their job was. And their best scorer, a man by the name of Grant, averaging 22 points. The whole team averages 80 points a game. Averaging 22 points, he got six, or was it seven? They shut him down. Why? Because they were focused. Bless their coach's heart. He said, I looked at the stats to see that it was only one game we lost instead of two. They got beat so badly. Now look, focus, focus, focus. We've got too much on our plate. And we see continually what happens when you and I stay directed, focused, vision. That's what Jesus had. His disciples said, come on back to Capernaum. They're lined up, ready for you to heal them. And Jesus said, I got to go to these villages. He had vision. Now, this is how we do our proper soul work. Remember these passages. First of all, authority. Know what you're supposed to do, what you're there to do, what the day has you doing. And from where you get your authority, so that you can speak confidently to yourself and others. Secondly, go into your soul work with compassion. Compassion. Understand not everybody is going to do the job as good as you can. They can't. So cut them some slack. That's what Jesus did. Thirdly, humility. Go to the Lord in prayer on a regular basis. Be alone. Sometimes I think we're scared to be alone. We don't know what's going to well up from inside of us. But be alone, and whatever wells up, turn it over to God. The human mind, the human soul, is not big enough to contain faith and worry at the same time. If we are worried too much, we don't have enough faith. You follow me? And then keep your vision. Know where you're going. Keep your focus. In Isaiah, there's a passage. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That is the biggest problem we Westerners have with soul work. We don't know how to wait for God. We just don't. In the Lord's economy, that is to say, his saving plan or his plan of salvation, it is he that does the saving. It is we who wait for the opportunities that open for us. I do love sports, and you know I do. And I won't forget that game and that play that was called a week ago today. How many of you saw that Super Bowl? Those of you that didn't, I'll be praying for you. That is a tremendous, that is a tremendous cultural event. Well, I questioned that call. And I wonder who in this world thought it up? And we could go into that, but that's not the purpose. That defensive back that knocked the receiver out of the way and intercepted got lucky. He got lucky. Why? Because he was in the right place at the right time. And I saw a quotation by the Roman philosopher Seneca. Seneca lived at the same time as Jesus lived. I often wonder if Jesus ever read those Greek philosophers. Because Seneca had to say, knowing that timing was everything, luck is what happens when preparation meets opportunity. Luck happens when preparation meets opportunity. So our question is, are we prepared? Are our souls ready for the opportunities that we have every day for us to get lucky, to be able to be used by God because we were prepared? The opportunity came our way, and we were able to do something very, very significant. Think about these things, and let us look to Jesus. He is the Lord and Savior. He shows us the way to live here and shows us how to go home to be with Him and God forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Our hymn of dedication is "A Charge to Keep I Have." There may be those individuals who would like to come and request special prayers. Others who would like to join in the fellowship of the church. We'd invite you to come as we sing this hymn, and we'd be very pleased to honor your request. We'll stand as we sing. Please remember our hot dog lunch that's over in the Weichel Fellowship Hall. People of God, go forth in peace, in joy, and thanksgiving. Please go and enjoy your salvation. Please go and be prepared for opportunities that will come our way sometimes daily to witness to the beneficence of Jesus and to point to salvation by faith through Christ. Go in peace.